I was telling him my work weekend. It was like crazy week for me, so it was just perfect timing. I believe God has a word for all of us through Eloy, and I want to encourage you to just open your heart and see what God will do. I know that God is at work. He's on the move, and he's got plans. Amen. He's got plans, and he's not confused. Even though things go crazy in our lives, he is not confused. Let's just pray as the Lord leads us in the next few minutes through the word of the Lord. Heavenly Father, we just give you praise this morning. We give you praise that we're here and you are speaking to us, and we can rest assured that nothing is by chance this morning. And Lord, that things are happening for a reason, Lord. And I pray that you open our hearts, Lord, that we, as we open our hearts, you will come and you will just teach us, continue to lead us into your direction, that we may accomplish the calling that you have for us, Lord, and the purposes of our lives, Lord. And we just give you honor, praise, and glory as the Lord gives a word forth today. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
Am I on? I'm good? All right. Well, it's an honor to be here this morning, stand before you. With that being said, I want to go ahead and just start with a word of prayer. Everyone can please bow your heads and close your eyes. Lord, Heavenly Father, God, I just thank you for the privilege and honor that you've laid before me, Lord, this morning, Lord. I pray that you would hide me behind your beautiful cross, Lord, and use these lips of clay, Lord. And I just thank you, Lord, that you are on the move, Lord. And I thank you for what you're doing. I thank you that truly the best is yet to come. We pray all this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. All right, I'm going to go straight into the message. Good morning. What I'm talking about this morning is the power of forgiveness. And I feel in my heart that God's laid a message of forgiveness. That God's given me a message. God's given me a message of deliverance. And I don't take it lightly any time and opportunity to get to share the word of God. First scripture I would like to share, scriptures, is in Genesis chapter 27, starting in verse 1. The word of God reads, "When Isaac was old and his eyes were so weak that he could no longer see, he called for Esau, his older son, and said to him, 'My son.' 'Here I am,' he answered. Isaac said, 'I am now an old man and don't know the day of my death. Now then, get your equipment, you quiver and bow, and go out to the open country to hunt some wild game for me. Prepare me the kind of tasty food I like and bring it to me to eat, so that I might give you my blessing before I die.'" Verse 5. "Now Rebekah was listening as Isaac spoke to his son Esau. When Esau left for the open country to hunt game and bring it back, Rebekah said to her son Jacob, 'Look, I overheard your father say to your brother Esau, "Bring me some game and prepare me some tasty food to eat, so that I might give you my blessing in the presence of the Lord before I die."' Verse 8. "Now, my son, listen carefully and do what I tell you. Go out to the flock and bring me two choice young goats so I can prepare some tasty foods for your father just the way he likes it." Verse 10. "Then take it to your father to eat so that he may give you his blessing before he dies." And just go ahead and go on to verse 30. After Isaac finished blessing him, and Jacob had scarcely left his father's presence, his brother Esau came in from hunting. Verse 31. "He, too, prepared some tasty food and brought it to his father. Then he said to him, 'My father, please sit up and eat some of my game so that you may give me your blessing.'" Verse 32. "His father Isaac asked him, 'Who are you?' 'I am your son,' he answered, 'your firstborn Esau.'" Verse 33, "Isaac trembled violently and said, 'Who was it then that hunted game and brought it to me? I ate it just before you came, and I blessed him, and indeed he will be blessed.'" Verse 34, "When Esau heard his father's words, he burst out with a loud and bitter cry and said to his father, 'Bless me too, my father.' But he said, 'Your father came deceitfully and took your blessing.'" Verse 36. "Esau said, 'Isn't he rightly named Jacob? This is the second time he has taken advantage of me and took my birthright, and now he's taking my blessing.' Then he asked, 'Haven't you reserved any blessing for me? Isaac answered Esau, I have made him lord over you, have made all his relatives his servants, and I have sustained him with grain and new wine. So what can I possibly do for you, my son? Verse 38. When Esau said to his father, Do you have only one blessing, my father? Bless me, too, my father. Then Esau wept out loud. Verse 39. His father Isaac answered, Your dwelling will be away from your earth's richness, away from the dew of heavens above. Verse 40. You will die with a sword, and you will serve your brother, but when you're restless, you will throw his yoke and from your neck. Verse 41, Esau held a grudge against Jacob because of the blessing his father had given him. He said to himself, The days of mourning for my father are near. Then I'll kill my brother Esau. Esau was the oldest. Esau has taken away his birthright. He had taken him what belonged to him. He also lied to his father. In and out going to the power of forgiveness, he was upset, bitter, because of what his brother, his own flesh and blood, did to him. And in the Bible, there's stories, countless stories in the Bible where they had a decision to make. Joseph, one of the perfect examples, his brother sold him into slavery. But Joseph said, towards the end, when God made him second in command, he forgave his brothers. As hard as it is to forgive people that have done us wrong, yes, we have reason times in life because of things that have happened to us. But Jesus Christ, if some of his last words were, forgive them for they not know what they do. I'm getting ahead of myself here. Jesus had every reason to hold grudges, because people wrongfully talked about him. But what was Jesus? He was about his father's business. What did he even tell his earthly parents at 12 years old? They were looking for him. And he told his parents, Don't you know that I'll be about my father's business? At a young age, Jesus knew that his life was going to end up dying for our sins. Power of forgiveness. Is it hard to forgive people that have done us wrong? Yes. But you know what? Jesus Christ has set the perfect example for us to forgive. It's hard. I know it is. But when God gives you God gives you a heart to forgive, when you forgive people that have wrongfully mistreated you, what you allow is that load to be lifted off your shoulders. And you can carry on whatever the purpose that God has given to you. It's powerful. Because when you don't forgive people that have done you wrong, I hate to say this, you're only hurting yourself. But when you forgive, there comes a freedom and a liberty that comes with it. Genesis chapter 33, verse 1. Jacob meets Esau. Let's see what's going to take place. Is Esau going to kill his brother? I'm sure Jacob was scared. Had different emotions. Jacob looked up and there was Esau coming with his 400 men. So he divided the children among Leah, Rachel, and the two female servants. He put the female servants and their children in front, Leah and her children next, and Rachel and Joseph in the rear. He himself went on ahead and bowed down to the ground 7 times as he approached his brother. Verse 4. But Esau ran to meet Jacob and embraced him. He threw his arms around his neck and kissed him. Let me read that again. This is powerful. But Esau ran to meet Jacob and embraced him. He threw his arms around his neck and kissed him, and they wept. Then Esau looked up and saw the woman and the children. Who are these with you? He asked. Jacob answered, They are the children God has graciously given your servant. That's powerful. Esau could have been still upset. Obviously, he had a reason to be, right? I have a side note here. Had God changed Esau's heart? Until this verse, the last mention of Esau was that he was planning to kill his brother for taking his blessing. 20 years had passed, and either Esau's heart had softened over time, or God had changed it miraculously in response to Jacob's prayers. But he forgave him. The power of forgiveness. The Word of God reads, Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they did not know what they are doing. And they divided up his clothes by casting lots. The people stood watching, and the rulers even sneered at him. They said, He saved others, let him save himself, if he is God's Messiah, the chosen one. The soldiers also came up and mocked him. They offered him wine vinegar and said, If you are the King of the Jews, save yourself. Verse 38, and I written a notice above him, which read, This is the King of the Jews. One of the criminals who hung their whole insults at him, Aren't you the Messiah? Save yourself and us. But the other criminal rebuked him, Don't you fear God? He said, Since you are under the same sentence, we are punished justly, for we are getting what our deeds deserve. But this man has done nothing wrong. Then he said, Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. Jesus answered him, Truly I tell you, today you'll be with me in paradise. Here you go, Jesus. Still ministering to this man that's about to die with him. The power of forgiveness. Jesus answered him, Truly I tell you, today you will be with me in paradise. It's a place that we're striving to get to. Should be a heart's cry that, you know, when we get to heaven, is that, Father, to hear from God Himself, Jesus, that, well done, good and faithful servant. That should be our goal in life, that when we get to heaven, it's only going to be you and God, nobody else, not your family, not your friends, only you and God Himself. The power of forgiveness. Matthew chapter 6, verse 9. The famous prayer that many people know. Matthew chapter 6, verse 9. A lot of athletes know. Matthew chapter 6, verse 9. This then is how we should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Verse 14. For if you forgive other people when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. It's hard to swallow. Starting in let me read this again. Verse 12, same chapter. And forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For if you forgive other people when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. I think he makes it pretty clear in the Word of God to forgive. Mark chapter 11. Verse verse 25. Mark chapter 11, verse 25. The Word of God reads, "Now when you stand praying, if you hold anything against anyone, forgive them, so that your Father in heaven may forgive your sins." Once again, Mark 11, 25. "And when you stand praying, if you hold anything against anyone, forgive them, so that your Father in heaven may forgive you your sins." Another thing with unforgiveness is that when you pray and you have unforgiveness in your heart, your prayers go up and then they go straight down. Many of you might say, "Well, you don't understand what this person's done to me. They deserve that." The ultimate judge is God Himself. When you forgive somebody again, you allow God to work in their lives. And the load's been lifted off your shoulders. And once again, you're allowed to continue walking whatever God has purpose for you. And God, throughout time, would turn things around. What the enemy meant for evil, God would turn it around. What the devil meant to harm somebody, God would turn it around. I don't know about you people, but I want God to turn things around in my life. I want God to be right standing. I want to be in right standing with my Heavenly Father. That when I get to heaven, I want to hear, "Son, I'm proud of you. Well done. Good and faithful servant." The power of forgiveness. A lot of people don't move forward with God because they're stuck in the rut of, "This person did this to me." You see, you're looking back instead of looking forward to the purpose, the calling that God has for you. People are stuck in the rut. "Oh, you don't understand, this person hurt me." You're stuck looking back when God's trying to get your attention. "Son, I'm right here. I'm here to help you. I'm here to heal you of the past hurts that people have done for you." But a lot of people are stuck in the rut. "You don't understand what this person did to me." You become the victim when God's trying to get you to victory and the promise and to go into the land that He has promised for you. A land that's flowing with milk and honey. The blessings of God. The riches, the blessings of the Heavenly Father that He lays bestowed upon you. But no, you don't understand what this person did to me. This, and that. You fill in the blank. When God's trying to get your attention on the cross. "Son, daughter, I paid the ultimate price for you." The Bible says that He came to amend the brokenhearted. I want my Heavenly Father to heal me of past hurts. And you know what? It's like, it takes years, but so be it. I'd rather let my Heavenly Father be doing a work in my heart. We all have a story. We all have a story of what God's done for us. Amen. We all have a plan. We all have purpose in God. But the reality of it is that we have maybe hit a crossroad in our own life, in our own personal, that we have to let go. And let God. Say to your Heavenly Father, "Lord, I can't." God understands. He wants us to be honest with Him. "I can't forgive this person because of this and that." But you say, "You know what? God, help me. Help me to forgive them." That's the first step. That is the first step. Like I said, it's a process. Some people, it happens miraculously. But I'm here this morning because of God. Not because of anything I've done. Not if the Bible says that our own righteousness is filthy rags. God's no respecter of people. It wasn't for the mercy of God. It wasn't for His grace upon my life at a young age. At a young age, I always had something to go to church. I was raised by my grandparents since I was 2 months old. Started going to the Catholic church. Then I started going to that small church over here. And then I ended up here. And I was like 10, 11 years old. With pastors from Ireland, of all places, from another country. But I thank God for them. Pastor David and Kathleen Green, they never gave up on me. Pastor always shared that message, like, you know, with my head down, feeling sorry for myself. He shared it with the pastor, Samson. Pastor, are you ever going to stop sharing that story? So, you know, it's true. I mean, I came in here at a young age. You see, the Word of God is powerful. God chips away things at us, chips away. I would still come in every Sunday, Saturday. I don't remember the day when we had youth. Thank God for Pastor Elias and his wife. You know, he only had 2 or 3 young people, but he never gave up on us. Going to summer camp, yeah, I got changed. Oh, God, it was awesome. And come back, go back to my old ways. Hang out with the buddies, the football buddies. But, you know, summer camp's so powerful. God was chipping away at my heart. Until June 18 of 2000, a church, a youth group from Northern Ireland, they had to raise over thousands of dollars easily to get here, right? And I look back at my own life, and at that time, I said, man, you love me so much that you not only put these two special people in my life, Pastor David and Catherine Green, you also brought a youth group from Northern Ireland. And I was looking at their lives at such a young age, they were so full of joy. I'm like, what is it that they have that I don't have? Yeah, I would come to church. I would play the church game, just sit down and hear a message, like, praise the Lord, whatever. That's how I was at a young age. I had a lot of anger, a lot of hate growing up. I was mad at the world because I didn't have my parents in my life. And different things that happened at a young age that, you know, me being sexually molested at a young age, it devastated me. I kept it hush-hush for so many years. It took my dignity. It hurt. This friend of mine, I thought he was a friend, right? That was when I was young. And then not having my father figure in my life. I would see my friends, because I was in sports growing up, and I see my friends, their parents cheering them on. Why are my parents not here? Why are they not here? My grandparents, they're already up in age, you know. They didn't go see me. And then I lost my uncle and my grandfather in a year's time. That was probably the hardest time in my life. Because my uncle, he's the one that would go see me play baseball, Little League baseball. He was there supporting me. I lost like a brother there when he was only 30 years when he went on to be with the Lord. And that was at a year time. I was in junior high. That was very vital years. But God, again, in his mercy, I remember being in front of my brother's, my uncle's casket, and telling God, why did this happen? And my grandfather raised me. He was not perfect, far from it. Pero I tell people, le digo a la gente que nunca me faltaba nada. They weren't perfect. My grandma would tell me stories that some families would come in, we'll give you so much money or so much acres so we can take care of your son. My grandma said, no, este es mío, he's mine. I'm so grateful for my grandma. Like I said, they were far from perfect. My grandfather, you know, at times he'll come home drunk, you know, and he would start cussing out my mother. And I still remember at a young age holding on to my grandma. I said, mijo, vamos, we're going to go stay. We walked to my other aunt's house, spend the night there because he was so drunk. That's why I hate beer. I hate alcohol. I hate it. Because at a young age, I saw what it did. And I said, at a young age, I'm not going to be that man. I'm not going to treat my wife like that. I'm not going to treat my family like that. I'm sharing this so you can see the power of forgiveness in someone's life. My grandfather, before the night he passed away, I heard him still vividly praying to God. I said, God, forgive me. Heal me. He passed with cancer. And I know it was genuine because he also asked his wife to forgive him. Le pido a su honey, perdóname como era contigo. Forgive me for the way I was with you. That next day, he passes away. God's mercy. Because there was time still I was an only child. I would pray still. I was still praying. I would still read the Bible for some reason. Growing up in church, now I know why I will go to church. Because God had His hand upon my life. Now I can say that without a shadow of a doubt. And then my mom, when she would come visit every so often, but I didn't want to see her because, again, el coraje que tenía en mi corazón, the anger that I had in my heart. Like, why aren't you here with me? Why isn't your husband, which is my dad, why isn't he here? I've never met the man. But the Bible says that he's a father to the fatherless. He's my daddy, my best friend. The Bible also says that though my father and mother forsake me, the Lord will receive me. Come on, somebody. He's helped me. He's carried me through tough times. And there was the time when I was in my junior year in high school. My mom came, and I still remember it. And my mom came. She had left McAllen somewhere, I don't know. And my grandma was like, "Un day." I'm not going to say what I'm thinking. "¿Dónde estabas?" "¿Dónde estabas?" And my mom's like, "¿Qué te?" Fill in the blank. Okay. But there was tension there. And then before you know it, I was in my room. My mom just went into sleep, and she started convulsion. She had a seizure. I pray to God nobody sees what I saw that day. She was convulsing. She was foaming from her mouth. When they picked her up from the ambulance, she started just cussing everybody out. Whew. I'm going to fast forward now. So once again, like what I said earlier, God's going to take years for God to answer prayer to see God turn it around. And my mom, they ended up taking her, and that was the last time that I saw her in almost 20 years. And I got saved my senior year that summer of 2000, June 18 to 2000. Growing up, I always thought of myself, my mom homeless. How is she living up there? How is she making it from day to day? I had those thoughts, and I would pray. I would seek God. God, watch over my mom. God, watch over my mom. Then I went to, let me fast forward throughout the years. Like I said, this summer is a summer that I'm never going to forget to the day I die. I was picking up my brother Marky from Donna North. He was lifting some weights. I get a phone call. Of all places, from a funeral home, Bond Funeral Home. They were looking for Esmeralda Peña, which is my aunt, which is her sister. Okay, yes, I'm my mom's son. You can give me that information. It's like, yes, because we're looking for the sister of Maria Alicia, which is Esmeralda. You're talking to her son right now. It's like, okay, she would disclose all that information. And it was my mom. I'm sorry if I get emotional today. Still hit home. Once again, in almost 20 years that I heard anything from my mom. Actually, when I was living with my aunt, she called out of the blue. My mom was real random. She called, and that time was the first time I ever heard my father's voice. Well, I know where I get my voice from. He has a deep voice. And I told him, you know what, Dad? I forgive you. I forgive you for not being there for me. And he was quiet. I also told my mom the same thing. I said, Mom, I forgive you. She asked me, Mijo, what do you want to be when you grow up? Mom, I'm not gonna lie to you. I want to be a pastor one day. It's become more of a reality now. It's like, I tell God to help me every day. Because ministry is not easy. I learned so much from Pastor Green, Pastor Tony, my youth pastor in mission, different pastors, Pastor Derek Scott from Bible school that I met. That's why I get close to pastors, because I know that one day it's gonna happen. I look at my life, I say, God, how could I not want to serve you? After you answered so many prayers in my life. One more story I would like to share personal. My grandmother, me and my friend George, he's a pastor now. He's a senior pastor. We went to go visit my grandmother's hospital in McAllen Regional, a big hospital, big quiet building. I'm never going to forget that day till the day I die as well. And my grandma was there. She couldn't walk. That's one reason why we admitted her in a nursing home. She passed away April 2004. I just wanted to go see how she was doing. We ended up praying for her. But she told me, "Mijo, I love you. I'm proud of you." I remember hearing that from my grandma. Because my grandma was a battered woman. She'd been married 3 times. La trataban mal. Would treat her bad. And she said, we led her to the Lord. We ended up praying for her. And she was in a wheelchair. And she said that when we finished praying for her, she started moving her feet. I still remember vividly like it was yesterday. I said, Mama, I love you. And also another thing, we got in contact with my mom. Just talking to her on the phone. I know how I got my middle name. My middle name's Alan, by the way. And she said that Alan was a hurricane in the 80s. Like, what? I didn't even know about that. So maybe that's why I'm all over the place. Little and even to an adult. I can't be still. I got in contact with my mom. My aunt went to go visit her, and I was in the room with her, and I was lost for words. I was speechless. I can't believe that I'm actually talking to my mom right now, face to face. That's a picture of her right there. You know, and I also want to thank David and Catherine Green for the many years of service to the Lord, but invested in me. Thank you. Thank you, Pastor Elias and his wife. Thank you, Raymond and Nelda, for your family. Grandma Janie and Ruth, Theo Hector. You're all part of this miracle. Thank my brother Marky and Raymond and little sis Bianca. I love you all. You're all part of this miracle. But once again, I didn't have no bitter. I wasn't bitter at it. Because God has given me a heart to forgive. You can also show that picture of Raymond and Elda and the family. They're there with my mom. She calls me Sonny. You know, and just so thank you again, guys. The summer I'm never going to forget. She was talking away with Raymond and Nelda and the kids. And then my mom gave something to Bianca. I said, give this to your little sister. I'm just lost for words too. On Tuesday nights, I would come in and Pastor Leah says, pray for my mom. And he would always say, hang in there. It's going to come true. There it is. But God's power of forgiveness. And then my aunt, when I went the first time, it was tough at first because the social worker said that my mother didn't want to see my aunt at the time. It's like, no, I don't want this to happen. I want my mom to see both of us. My aunt took me in my senior year when my grandma got real sick. And I'm so grateful for my Uncle Roy, my tia Lali, that took me in at the time. And I tell them because it was a vital time when I needed the family the most. And they were there for me, my cousins. My cousin Andy, cousin Jennifer, Roy, Daniel, and Stephanie. Once again, nunca me faltaba nada. God had his hand upon my life at a young age. That's why it's so hard to work with the teenagers that I work with, because I think you have your parents, and sometimes I feel that they don't even care. And now they have that. But going back to my point I was trying to make, I'm sorry. Then my mom, eventually my mom, I showed the picture of the family, my tia Lali's family, us with them. And, but this is my aunt, this is your sister's family. Once I showed her that, and I said that we weren't going to take her, she changed her heart. She changed her mind. I said, okay, Sonny, I'm ready to see my sister. I'm like, thank you, Jesus. And then when my aunt saw her sister, just she was lost for words too, because she looks like my mom, which is her mom, my grandma. Aunt Maggie, which is her other sister, my tia Maggie too, that's in heaven. I'm so thankful for her too. She passed me a house. It's a blessing. At first, I didn't see it as a blessing, but I'm working on it. And then my mom told around and told my aunt Lali Esmeralda. We call her Lali. Her name's Esmeralda. I said, Lali, give me. And thank you for taking care of my sonny. I broke down. I lost it. And the social worker's like, are you okay? Yeah, I'm fine. I'm just overwhelmed. That was just powerful in itself. And that's what I wanted to talk about this morning, the power of forgiveness. Because to see that, like, face to face, like, my two eyes was because my aunt had a lot of coraje también. Because if she wasn't here for my grandma's funeral, she wasn't here for my uncle's funeral. But just to hear my mom ask her sister to forgive her was powerful. Forgiveness is something powerful that only God can give you the ability to forgive somebody. I stand before you here that God and his mercy, that God will give you the strength to forgive someone that's wronged you. It's a tough message to share, because everybody's been hurt in one shape or another. But once again, Jesus Christ himself has set the perfect example. Forgive. Because he's forgiven us. Then the second trip I went, once again, Raymond and Elda, they went with me, the kids. And something also, like, I'm lost for words. But I'm still holding on to hope that she want to come back home one day. I'm holding on. Christadone, Houston. Thank God I found her. Thank God, and I know this gives me peace at heart that she's taken care of. Michelle, can you come up, please? I'm going to play this song. I just want you to hear the lyrics. We can bow our heads and hear the lyrics to this song. It means a lot to me. I heard this song in Bible school, and it ties in with my message this morning.
Failure. It's all gone. Depression. Gone.
This is my altar call this morning. Maybe this morning you walked in hurting. Only you know what you've gone through. Only you know what you're going through with your family. But I would love to pray with you this morning. Because God Himself, Jesus, is going to help you. Maybe you're holding on to people that have hurt you. Can I just be honest with you this morning? Let go and let God. It's not worth it. So this morning you're hurting. I would love to pray with you. To encourage you. That there is a God that loves you. There is a Heavenly Father that loves you. There's a God that can turn things around. God loves you. God ain't mad at you. Because He created you for greatness. So this morning you're hurting. Maybe your family's hurting. We have to pray with you this morning. The altar is open. The altar is a place of change. As Michelle's about to sing a song, where God lays in her heart, the altar is open.